CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. We got on eventually. We were struggling a little bit. Sia and I were frantically messaging each other at like 5 minutes to six, going, "What the hell? This is what, we don't know what's happening. We were confused." Anyway, we're here. It's Friday. And Leanne, you look very snug and warm. You look like someone who's about to go to the North Pole, and it's only April. What's going on there, huh? What's happening?
It is a little chilly this morning, man.
It is very.
This is just a snug.
It is.
So, do you ever use that? Do you use that thing as a mask when you go to the shops, or you can't?
Well, this is the first time this season I'm wearing it, is this very morning.
Okay.
So I haven't considered doing that, but I don't know if it would be very effective because, I mean, it's woolly and wool has holes in it.
So do those masks. So do the masks.
Oh, it's
all just a show. It's just a show. So we've got to, you know, put on our masks like you would if you were going to a masked ball. That's what it is. It's just like that, except instead of covering your eyes, you cover your mouth.
Gosh.
That's true.
Now, Leanne, I will have to say, I do believe in a snood more than I do in a scarf.
Mm. Definitely.
Because a scarf has the ends that are hanging about, which means if the killer wants you, the killer can grab the ends and just pull on them.
Listen, I had a near facial accident with the scarf once.
What happened?
After getting home from doing the show in Auckland Park, mm-hmm. I got out of my car and I dropped my keys in the driveway. So I bent down to pick up my keys, not realizing at the same time that I'd stood on the end of my scarf.
Oh,
and and as I stood up, it pulled me down into the gravel.
Oh, no.
So they're very dangerous things, you know. Mm. You definitely should go for the all-rounder.
Yeah, but
exactly.
Sia,
that's what the ground and the killer can do to
you. Yeah, but I hate to say it, Sia, but the killer can also just pull on the end of the what do you call that, a snood, and then they can pull you in that way as well. In fact, they probably don't have to pull as hard. Plus, they're guaranteed to pull your head with the rest of you. Whereas with the scarf could come loose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we're safer with a snood. With a snood, I say.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out for dinner last night, and who should I see there but Sia Sangweni with somebody at a table. You know, it just shows you.
What?
Yeah, despite the fact that Johannesburg is such a huge place and there's so many people, there are only a few of us who can still go out for dinner, and clearly Sia and I are among those few people who can still go out for dinner.
We're keeping the restaurants industry alive.
Yeah.
What are the chances? I mean, there's so many restaurants.
But it is, I mean, it is one of Joburg's most, I think, one of their really top quality places. And I'm not just saying that because I know the people who run it, the Khojanis. It's called Jemeli. Mm. Which is just such a good place. So I walked in because we were there for it was a surprise birthday party. So the invite only went out yesterday. And to be perfectly frank, I'm not big on going out during the week. I'm properly, I'm really one of those people. I don't mind doing things on the weekend. And I don't think I'm ever going to get totally old and boring. But during the week, I kind of like to keep it at home. And I drove out of my house last night and I was like, well, you know, it is a good friend of mine's birthday, so I'm going to do this. But I was a little bit grums about it. So I eventually arrived at the restaurant, walked in, and sitting at a table right in the middle holding court was Sia Sangweni.
So he wasn't part of the same party.
No. But he was at the same place. And I think
then you felt better.
Yeah. No, I did. No. So I walked up and said, how's it to Sia? And then we had a little table off to the side, and we were, I don't know how noisy we were, Sia, but we probably only spent an hour and a half there, and then everybody kind of went their own way.
Yeah, you guys were gone relatively early.
Yeah, I think everybody had, you know, one of the guys has just had a baby, and, you know, then everybody else has work commitments, and usually after a dinner like that, we would have gone out somewhere, and it would have ended up being a late night, but I think considering that maybe either people are growing up or because lockdown has changed some things, We all got out of there pretty quickly. We all actually left at 9:30, and then on the way home, the cops were there in the road, which was Usually, usually I would have been, oh no, here are the cops. But thank God I hadn't had a single drink, so I was absolutely fine. So I'm like, yes, go ahead. You know, what do you want to test?
Sure.
So they're like, no.
Oh, so you. Did you go on?
So the cops just said, have you been drinking? I said, no. And they just said, all right, go. Because I was like, the one night I wanted to be tested, they were like, no, we're not going to. They just let me go.
You should have gone when they said, have you been drinking? You should have gone, no, not me.
Just start slurring.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was nice.
Oh, gosh. Well, I have to say, I had a great time. You know, that at dinner, restaurants was amazing. The conversation was great. But I had something that just scared the bejesus out of me.
What? A lot scares you, but what was this?
Yes. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. I wouldn't say that I never believed in mediums, but I just never had a reason to believe in them, if that makes sense. But I got a text from a friend of mine probably 2 days ago who was trying to reach me, and she was very diplomatic about, like, hey, please let me know when you're free for a call. And I thought, oh, it's just going to be a catch-up. Let me just call her over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was at dinner, she sends me another message and says, hey, I really need to tell you something. And their father passed away recently, who I was very close to.
And he left you millions.
And now I go, oh my gosh, is this really urgent? What is happening? And she calls me right at dinner and she says, look, I hate to scare you. I hate to interrupt. But we went to a medium and dad came through for you. Now I go, oh Lord. And she just starts offloading on things, honestly, they wouldn't even know about me. But this medium has now said that came through from the father. And now I don't even know what to believe anymore. I don't.
Like, what sort of things did he say that no one could have known?
Look, I don't know. You know, we don't even post about each other often. And their father passed away about 3 months ago. So they went as a family. And even just to be as blunt, they're a white family. So in the middle of this reading, in inverted commas, to now go, the medium said it as clearly as, siyabonga. And the whole family was like, what? What's happening? And the medium goes, yes, this is a Zulu phrase, but I feel like it's a person. They go, okay.
Yeah.
And he says, there's a message coming through from someone for someone named Siyabonga. Do you know who that is? And they all nod. And then she just starts rattling off these things to say. It is still very to me. I've never had an experience like this ever.
And was it stuff that you knew couldn't have just been like total random bullshit?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
And it's a lot of personal stuff, like super, super personal.
I hate
to be one of those people who like raises a story that can't really tell the full story.
Listen, there are... But, yeah. You can take two views on this. You can either take the view that these people do have supernatural gifts or abilities, which is difficult for some of us to accept. Or you can accept that they are really, really talented at making stories relevant to people. Now, whichever it is, it's still a skill. Were these messages that you were given through your friend by this medium, were they good or were they scary?
Good, yeah. Okay. It's all exactly what he was to us, and specifically what he was to me when he was alive, reassuring. He was there for advice. He was there to help. And that was what everything was. Even something as frivolous as, you know, my lease is coming to an end next month, and I don't know what to do about it. And the media made reference to that. It's like, oh, do you know that? Jesus. Stereotype.
That's very scary.
Yeah, sure. Made reference to at least, yeah, you know, just go get a new place. It's a new energy. It's new time in your life. Okay.
Did he mention that you chat your pants? Was it personal
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, that's very important. Good point. Well put. Yes. That's what we need to know. Bitlang says, ah, Sia, we want to know everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great to hear from him,
mm-hmm.
and great that, you know, we could connect like this.
Mm-hmm.
But for when your beliefs come into play, I now question everything about my life. Going, I've watched these shows, I second guess all of them, I go, ugh, please, I don't believe in them. But I was one of those people in the middle of a busy restaurant, and I had thought I had just excused myself from the table going, ah, oh, this is going to be, you know, just a minute. I was now caught to tears.
Oh, my God.
On the side, to the side of the restaurant going, oh, no.
Well, Steph wants to know, this is also a good question. How long did it take you to order last night?
Oh, no, please.
I was just say one. There's one thing about the way that we do a whole restaurant visit now, and we go out for dinner as opposed to how it was done before lockdown, that I quite like. I like this idea of scanning a QR code and getting the menu on your phone. I like that you're not, you don't have to pass around this big menu that you don't know where it's been. You don't know how often they clean them. And they always, it's complicated. It's so much easier to just do it on your phone. And it can look different every single day. It costs the restaurant a whole lot less to make the menus.
Mm.
I like that. I think that's a good thing. I think
very
that's
good
awesome.
Point. Well put.
Yes, I like the QR code menu situation. Yeah, I had just such a lovely meal. But did it take you hours to order? Did you find something you liked, Sia?
No, I actually know what I like to have when I go there.
Yeah,
they have like big hearty meals with great portions. So okay. I'll have some of my leftovers for lunch today.
Very nice.
Oh, that's lunch today after I've, by the way, booked my own session with a medium now.
Oh, you're going to the same one?
No, I hate to sound so woo-woo, but I'm like, okay, you know so much. I need to expand on that. I need to hear something more. So I'll talk to her later.
Well, Rajesh says a midget psychic escaped from jail last week. Police are looking for a small medium at large. I love that.
Oh, dear.
Charles Tibet is saying, good morning, death by scarf. And then Tracy adds, Leanne, when you're wearing a snood or a scarf, apparently Isadora Duncan died that way. Her long silk scarf got stuck in her convertible car's wheels and snapped her neck. Oh, jeez. Jesus, that's horrible.
That actually happened as well. I think it was a guy in South Africa.
Really?
Although I really don't know. I don't know. No, but it was with a dog lead.
Mm.
So he'd been to the park, and he usually unhooks the dog and then, you know, wraps it around the back of his neck.
Right.
Got into his car, and it was hanging on the, it got stuck in the wheel as he was driving.
God, that's horrible. Oh, that is horrible. Sweet Jesus.
Way to go.
Yeah. You know, that we've often spoken, because we're so macabre on this show, about like the worst ways to go. But I still think being eaten, and I had this conversation with someone just the other day, being eaten is my least favorite of all the possibilities. It's really, that is not a good
idea. If you have this conversation, and like scarily too often.
I know, but
concerning.
You know, if I'm going to choose, you never know. If I'm going to choose, I'm going to put it out in the universe that please do not let me be eaten. That's all I'm going to say. Then I'll be happy. Anything else I'll go along with, you know? All right. Well, we've got quite a lot to get through today. We've got actually something pretty interesting, I should think, a bit later on. Someone called Dr. Paul Bayliss will be talking to us. He's a senior specialist art curator, and he's going to be telling us about this competition that's running. And if you're an artist, this could be something that you're really interested in. And I hope you would be, because, you know, artists have had a very tough time under lockdown, whether you're a performing artist or whether you're a person who paints and draws and, you know, maybe you sculpt things. It's in some ways, I suppose your creativity might have gone through the roof because you actually had time to be at home and you haven't had to do so many of the the stuff, the things that you might have had to do when you go and see people and so on. But we're going to talk a bit about art and find out about a new competition, and there might be some money in it too, which is very nice. We'll get to that. We've also got George Meany later on in the show because it's Friday, and that means Auto Central, the Power Pod. And we'd like to hear from you if you aren't already watching us live on YouTube, in which case, please subscribe and like, because we need to know about that. Leanne, just do it like an influencer would, on a normal YouTuber would, please.
So guys, that's all, wrapping it up. Don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell button so that you get all of my notifications. Thanks, y'all. See you in the next video.
All right. Very good. Very, very good. I realized we've missed one thing for the week, which I'm so embarrassed about, because, you know, here we are giving people instructions to do one thing a week. We can't even get that thing right. We can't even get the thing that we're meant to do as a thing once a week. So that's coming up in a second or two. Anything exciting happening? Because it's sort of a long weekend. I mean, Monday is a work day, and we'll be here on Monday. We'll be doing the show live on Monday morning. But
I thought we said we weren't.
I know. We had a board meeting, and we decided we are going to do it. So
okay. I'm glad I found out.
We better let Leanne know. Will you just send her? I don't know. Will you tell Leanne? Yeah, please. Thank you. There you go.
Should I send her the minutes? Oh, gosh.
Yes.
I'll send her the minutes.
All right. So one thing for the week. Do you want to do this? This week, you're going to be a mini prostitute. I know this sounds like it could be very dirty, but you're going to do a mini act of prostitution this week so that we can just make these things a little more normal and you don't have to be so judgy. I know Sia's already being judgy because Sia doesn't like strippers. So you can decide which one you want to do. We'll start at the very bottom. You can look at someone suggestively, and then when they look back and they kind of look like they might be interested as well, you could say to them, that'll be 50 cents, please. And they won't know what's going on, but it's just going to be a fun way to break the ice, right? And then, because you might see people this weekend, who knows? You might meet some new people this weekend. You might go out and bump into someone at the shop, and then you look at them suggestively, and then they'll look at you suggestively, and you go, hello. And then
you'll have to really use your eyes on one.
No, because the mask. Masks. Yeah.
You have to do a lot of eyebrow work.
If you feel like getting a little bit more money for your effort, then you could just kiss someone on the cheek. But this would have to be after something has already happened. You can't just walk up to a complete stranger and kiss them on the cheek. But if you think they'll biff you over your head with their handbag.
Can think you're French.
Maybe, but I think it would probably be for a lot of people a little bit too much. But then you can charge them a lot more for a kiss than you can for a suggestive look. So you could say, kiss them on the cheek and then go, that'll be $2, please. And I mean, it might make them laugh. No. The third thing you could do is just grab their hand and caress it.
Ooh.
That you could charge probably about, I think, 5, maybe even 10 rand for. You know, it could be a person who looks lonely or a person who looks like they need some attention. And then you say, that'll be 5 rand, please. You could let someone pinch your bum. That would probably be a whole lot more, maybe $20. What do you think?
You might have to force someone to pinch my bum.
But they have to be minor acts of prostitution, not very major ones. So you don't, you're not going to take
I thought they have to be minors. Where is this going?
They have to be revolting. They have to be small prostitution acts. They don't have to be big ones. Because really it is the oldest profession in the world. And most people never even consider it. And, you know, I'm so sick of people like prostitutes being judged when, you know, we all know that accountants and lawyers are much, much more depraved. And yet prostitutes get a bad name. So there is no reason why you have to jump in at the deep end with full-blown sex and, you know, having to charge strangers lots and lots of money. Find out if it is for you by starting small this week. So that's your one thing for the week. You're going to start off small with one tiny act of mini prostitution, and we'll see how it goes. Maybe you decide this is something I can do. You know, it would probably be better than opening up an OnlyFans. So do it. What the hell? Go on.
Better chance of success.
I think so, you know? I think so. Plus, you don't have to you don't have to go all the way. It's just a small, fun little thing. And if it doesn't work for you, nobody ever needs to know. And no one will judge you. No one's going to say, oh, you're not only a prostitute, but you're a failed prostitute, because that's got to be very embarrassing. All right, we're going to get to some headlines.
And how would you fail prostitution?
Well, let's say you...
Never mind. Not even a conversation.
So many ways, yeah. I mean, let's say you did go for the caress someone's hand and they slapped your hand away. Then essentially you would have been a failed prostitute, because not only did you not complete the act, but you couldn't charge them because they rejected you from the outset.
Mm-hmm. So
I think that could be a fun thing to do this week. And that doesn't
I'll happen. Only do these things if I have a pimp to ensure that I get the money.
Okay. Well, Sia and I are happy to stand in as your pimp.
All right. Great.
Done deal. So let's go to some headlines for this morning.
Heard about me.
But I'm a bitch. Can't get a dollar out of me. Not bad a lack, no pup. You can't see that I'm a motherfucking P-I-M-P.
P-I-M-P.
Mm-hmm. God, I used to love that song. I still love that song. I'm so glad you brought it up. All right, so Jacob Zuma says some members of the ANC may be corrupt, but not the ANC itself. That's from News 24 this morning. Kavil Singh and Lwandile Mbengu reporting that former president Jacob Zuma criticized Cyril Ramaphosa's letter to the ANC in which he called the party corrupt. Zuma said... Some members, some members may be corrupt, but not the whole party. He says it's not a secret that the president wrote a letter saying the ANC is the number one corrupt organization in the country. He said he was writing this to all the members of the ANC. I think we demonstrated that our power and political understanding are weak because the ANC, in my view, is not corrupt, he said. Zuma was speaking in Umhlanga, north of Durban, where the SA National Civic Organization Youth Congress was celebrating its 79th birthday on the 12th of April. Zuma said the party as a whole could not be defined as corrupt, but he conceded there were challenges with some members. I wonder which members, Mr.
Well, at
former
least
president.
He's admitting something.
Even if
it's not the whole truth.
Really, you know, any admission by someone who is he's throat deep in corruption, this man. He is the guy at the center. And we spoke about this on the Burning Platform yesterday. And Canthan Pillé, who made a return to the Burning Platform, if you missed it yesterday, was on fire. He said, the whole Zondo Commission should have started with Jacob Zuma. They should have called him right at the beginning and said, right, tell us what went down and we'll pick up all the small pieces after you. Because you're the guy who was the president of the country when all of this was going down. You were the one who let people in. You were the one who arranged the networks of patronage, so let's go. And, of course, that is not what happened. And now he's running around telling people that the Zondo Commission is a witch hunt, which, ironically, Canthan agreed with. Tokyo Sekhwale, this is such a weird story. Yeah. I still don't know what's really going on here, but Tokyo Sekhwale, the ANC veteran, is sticking to his story that billions of rands sent via the so-called White Spiritual Boy Fund. I mean, what a thing to call it. Spiritual Boy Fund. Was stolen and that a major crime has been committed. After a few days of being told by many, including the Reserve Bank, that he had been scammed, Sekhwale has hit back, saying that the money was real. He said an international banking system deposited a huge sum of money with the Reserve Bank. He said the fund was geared at paying for free education and bullet trains and other major projects, but now it is gone. They said it's called BIS, the system that he's talking about, BIS. And then he says, despite the Reserve Bank saying that they had no record of this, Sekhwale says he has not been scammed. But he has stood firm, saying the money was legitimate. He also said that he's turned to the president, the finance minister, and the Reserve Bank governor to verify the money, but received nothing back despite being blue-ticked on WhatsApp. Do you think this guy's losing his mind? I mean, this is so embarrassing. I mean, like, he's been blue ticked on WhatsApp, and that's the only time he's been, you know, he sent messages, and now people are just, they're just like not replying to him because they probably don't take him terribly seriously. Anyway, he said
so bizarre.
So,
he said this money is there and it's been stolen from him. But it could just be that Tokyo Sekhwale, who, you know, he's a strange cat, this guy. I mean, when we had him in our studio, what was it, 2.5 years ago, he made some crazy allegations about what really happened and what is still happening and what went down. And, you know, he's made some enemies and he's made some friends. And to some people, he's still one of the respectable guys in the ANC. And to other people, he's one of the crazies. I don't know what to make of this story. I really don't. It is absolutely one of the most bizarre stories of 2021. And that's saying something.
And I think he's also enjoying this time and the attention that comes with it. He tweeted, I can't remember what time he spoke yesterday, but he tweeted that time. And then just with a photo of a can of beans spilling, like spilled out on the floor.
Oh, so he put that picture with it?
X time, I'll be spilling the beans. Yeah. As in, I'll be spilling the beans at this time. Like, either someone has made him very, very annoyed, or people have gone behind his back.
No.
He just has...
It's so funny, though.
Seems like he has nothing to lose.
This story appears on EWN, but then right under the story is an ad for how to spot a 419 scam. That's pretty funny. All right, this is one more politics story. We usually don't like these on a Friday, but Tourism Minister Mamaloko Kubayingubane on Thursday said that the sector would only fully recover once enough people were vaccinated. She briefed the media in Johannesburg on Thursday at the department's recovery plan to revive the sector. I mean, I don't know how government revived the sector, because it is thanks to the lockdowns that so many hotels have gone bankrupt, that so many people in tourism have been fired and laid off. It is entirely due to the lockdowns. It's got nothing to do with coronavirus. And it's unfortunate, obviously, that this has happened with international travel, and it's not always our government's fault. It could be the fault of other governments who've decided that there are travel bans on South Africa. But the ones who have survived, I just have to take my hat off to them and say well done to every small and medium and large business that is in the tourism industry and has made it through this horrible, horrible time. I don't know how governments can help you. I really don't. Other than to stand there and say that they're helping you and do nothing, because that's what they do. I don't even know whether we shouldn't, since the tourism industry has been laid low, I think we should, as a symbol of our commitment to those who have survived and as a statement of intent to those who've lost their jobs and those who've gone under, I think we should just get rid of the cabinet position for tourism. I think the tourism minister should have to step down, just like most of the people in tourism have stepped down. And we should just get rid of that department right now, because I don't know how much good they do anyway. And I don't believe that they do a huge amount of good. And if you think that I'm wrong, please tell me so. I'd love to hear from you. But I think maybe she should step down as well. She should say, you know what? The tourism industry has been depleted, destroyed, and left in tatters. So I'm actually going to vacate this position and ask the president to close down the tourism ministry. That would be a good move. That's the only move that I could see government making that would make a difference. We'd save some money.
Very, very bold.
Yeah, we'd save some money. We wouldn't have to be paying for another minister who's sitting there talking shit while people are losing their jobs. Dozens of people have been injured in violent clashes in East Jerusalem between far-right Jewish activists, Palestinians, and Israeli police. Hundreds of ultra-nationalist Jews shouting death to Arabs confronted Palestinian demonstrators at the city's Damascus Gate late on Thursday. This is being reported by the BBC this morning. The police were trying to keep the two groups apart. They used stun grenades and tear gas against the protesters, some of who threw bottles and stones. A number of people were arrested. And we will keep an eye on that story. It's always, you know, just as soon as you start thinking that the Middle East is settling down and it's becoming a place that is friendly, where the great religions of the world are spreading peace. And we spoke to a rabbi just the other day called David Rosen, who had some things to say about interfaith work that he's doing. Well, we've got a way to go, I'm afraid. And when you hear stories like this.
Yeah, just when you think peace is just a stone's throw away.
uh, And SpaceX are aiming for Friday morning, that's today, to launch to the ISS. This is interesting. A new launch of the third crew that are being sent to the International Space Station might happen today. And they are reusing a rocket and crew capsule in a human mission for the first time. The Crew 2 mission blasts off from Pad 39A at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida at 5:49 Eastern Time after being delayed by a day by adverse weather along the flight path. It seems the weather is cooperating, so they will try to launch today. That's what Thomas Pesquet says.
How many humans are there in space at the moment?
I'm not sure. I honestly don't know.
I'm sure that's a question Siri can answer.
Yeah, you could ask Siri. Try it quickly right now. Mm. Let's go.
As my dad would say, I'm going to Google it. Google it.
Google it. Try, Leanne. Let's see if you could figure out how many Google people it. In space right now. They'd all have to be on the ISS because there's no one just wandering
Six
around.
Six people.
Okay. So this will take some more up. Okay.
You know what?
Well, that's the first result.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah?
Yeah, go on.
Here's what I discovered Siri knows. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, excuse me. Are you ready for this? Hey, Siri, what is Oprah reading? Siri, don't disappoint me now. Oh, okay, wait. Let's take it from the
Try again. Try again.
Hey, Siri, what is Oprah reading?
Here's Oprah to tell you about it.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Hi, everyone. Right now, we're reading the Gilead novels by Marilyn Robinson. These novels remind us to slow down, take a deep breath, and remember there is beauty all around us. Robinson's language embodies...
How awesome! Siri knows what Oprah's reading.
So much meaning. How long does she go on for?
Yaks up a storm. She's good.
Family.
Yeah.
Human condition.
Join me as we journey to the world of Gilead.
Oh my God.
How have you memorized it?
Well, because he's obsessed with Oprah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Oprah.
So now you know Oprah's reading whenever you can ask Siri.
Really? Oprah.
That's bizarre.
Useless information.
Unbelievable.
So there is a website, howmanypeopleareinspacerightnow.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it says 7.
I think you might have told us about that website before. Didn't you?
I may have. Yeah. I remember some weird websites, but I don't know if this is the one. So at the moment, there is Shannon Walker. She's a flight engineer from the US.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Glover, mm-hmm. the same. Mike Hopkins, the same. Soichi Noguchi, flight engineer from Japan. Oleg Novitsky. I don't know what flag that is. Mark van der Hey, who's from America, and Pyotr Dubrov, who's from the same place as Oleg Novitsky.
There are some people who, when you think you're talking to Siri, when you think you're talking to that person, it fires up Siri. Have you noticed that? Like some names.
Oh yeah.
Siri thinks Definitely. You're talking to her.
Yeah.
Very irritating. This is amazing. Bulelo actually sent this to us, and I think it's pretty cool. In Shanghai, look at this quickly. I'm going to put the picture up. A couple of days ago, a scannable QR code was projected into the sky by drones, and when scanned, allowed people to download a video game. This is the future of advertising. So these drones made it a scannable QR code in the sky. How cool is that?
It's amazing.
It's absolutely
very,
phenomenal.
Very cool.
Phenomenal. So that's really
cool. So much for those airplanes that fly past with those little banners saying, marry me.
Yeah. So, Sia, are you going to be reading Oprah's book? A lot of people want to know.
Not my cup of tea.
Yeah. All right.
But I will be asking Siri and what she's reading, just for the fun of it.
A little warning in case you're one of those people who checks on the Bitcoin price every day and you haven't done it yet. Just a warning, it's below $50,000 today. You know, we were up at $63,000 just the other day. And this is what happens. It goes up and goes down. And this is why you shouldn't You shouldn't be surprised if, you know, you're expecting just a nonstop upward trend, as Sean Sanders said to us on Wednesday morning. It goes up and it goes down. You need to be aware of all of this. It could change.
The world doesn't work that way.
No, I'm afraid not. All right. Sia has found this account on YouTube that he loves and on Instagram, and it's called Unnecessary Inventions. Do you want to tell us about that?
So good. So good. It is exactly what exactly as the term encapsulates. It is just so fun. Go on to their Instagram. I know I've brought it up before on the show, but I don't know how this guy comes up with these things. They're stupid, but once you look at them, you go, yeah, actually, why don't we have things like that? Like, one of the things that I saw recently is a rug just intended for your entryway at home that has... It's stupid, actually. So it serves the purpose of a rug. It looks good. It's nice and fluffy for people who are inside of the house. But for those who have dirty feet, it actually has little holes cut out there for your dirty feet. So instead of walking on the rug, you're actually walking on the ground. Does that make sense?
It's got like footprint cutouts.
It has footprint.
You can walk across it.
I mean, stupid, unnecessary, but you go, yeah, maybe. So then look at this for all of us who are still like working virtually and dealing with things over Zoom. Here's something else that he just created.
Let me see.
I invented the Zoom Borg, the webcam mannequin for all your important Zoom meetings. Simply grab the USB cord from the back of the device and plug it directly into your computer for an ultra HD live feed of yourself. So on your next Zoom call, you can get the feeling of talking face to face with another human being rather than a lifeless screen. Bring your Zoom meetings into the new normal today with the Zoom Borg.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
But why does the Zoom Borg have one eye, one big paper eye and one normal eye?
It is so unnecessary. Okay, here's another. Maybe this will make you believe in him.
Zoom Borg.
I invented the haircut collar, the scientifically easiest.
What? Just start that again.
Wait a minute.
I invented the haircut collar, the scientifically easiest way to cut your hair completely on your own. The moment your hair starts looking real crazy, all you have to do is reach for this sleek neck brace and snap it shut around your Adam's apple. The dual mirrors will make cutting your hair around the blind spots on the back of your head an absolute walk in the park. You will never need a salon ever again. And the results will speak for themselves when you cut your hair with the haircut collar.
That's so stupid.
That's good. I can see why you like it. Well, I would too. I think it's cool.
Can you imagine how that person has how much work it is for that person to keep thinking up unnecessary inventions? I mean, that's hard work. You know, I haven't come up with one good invention in my whole life. So I can only imagine how difficult it is to come up with new videos every week. That's tough stuff.
So good, though. So good.
I
hated that adversity when our lecturers would say, okay, your assignment is to come up with an invention either on paper or in, you know, building it as a model. It's like people spend their entire lives coming up with one invention and I must make one by the weekend.
Yeah. I can't come up with one good invention. I mean, I've thought about some utterly ridiculous ones that wouldn't even make it onto that guy's YouTube channel. But I don't think that's my strength. I don't think that's the thing that I'm going to do on planet Earth. I often think, you know, I thought about Pepe Marais, who was on the show on Tuesday. Since we spoke to him, I've been thinking about it quite a lot. You know, what is your purpose? Well, I don't think I'm going to be the one who, you know, cures a terrible disease or manages to solve some great, you know, perennial human problem. I'll probably just make people laugh.
There's a cream for perennial human problems.
Is there? What is it called, Leanne?
A new soul.
Anus all. Isn't it called anus all?
Yeah, basically.
Do you pronounce it anus all?
If you ask for it over the counter, you ask for anusol, okay. But it does look like anusol.
I call it anusol. So if I had to ask for it over the counter, I would say it like that. Sorry. I hope that's all right. Okay, we do have quite a lot for you in the next hour, so stick around for that. We've also got George Meany joining us this morning, as we do on a Friday. And because it is Friday and it's almost like a long weekend, we will be here on Monday. Just got to remind you of that too. A lot of people talking about that Bitcoin price that I brought up. And Andre Sarah, Savage Reader, saying, well, when the Bitcoin price drops, that's when it's time to buy. I suppose that's one way people are thinking about it. You don't buy Bitcoin later to later convert back to shitty rands. You buy Bitcoin to one day use it. I suppose that's true. I spoke to the most interesting dude yesterday. He's a flat earther. Now, Sia found this guy somewhere. And, you know, I mean, flat earth has become like the textbook definition of someone crazy. If you say someone is a flat earther, that is the most ridiculous thing you could say. It means you're basically saying they're a completely not credible lunatic and they must be ignored. And this guy, his name is Dave, and he actually goes by the name Dave the Flat Earther. And I spoke to him for maybe about half an hour. And he had a PowerPoint presentation and he had his theories about how the universe really works and how the earth is flat and there's this ice wall and what's beyond the ice wall. And, you know, the governments of the world are conspiring against us to keep us from the truth. And it was really interesting. And we're going to play that at some point in the next few days for you. Because honestly, like, I don't know what to say about it. You're going to have to figure it out yourself.
So have you come out any different to when you went in?
Probably not. Yeah. And I say that. I mean,
the first thing I want to say is always. But we've seen the planet while people are in space. Ask those seven people who are in space now.
Yeah.
But then the argument then is that those pictures are fake, right?
Well, this is where I went into it with a very open mind. I was like, well, I'm going to give this guy a chance to explain his point of view and to kind of without judgment. Let him have a say and have a go. And really, I tried very hard to not be judgmental through the course of the interview because I thought maybe there's something I can learn here. And there are a couple of things that he said that made me think. And there are a couple of things that I thought that might be, there's a remote possibility that might be true. But most of it I was not particularly convinced by. And I don't think he's an idiot and I don't think he's insane. I mean, I've met people who claim to have an appreciation and respect for actual science who have said much dumber things than this guy has. And there are people all over the world who speak about things like politics who are way stupider than he is. So I'm careful not to – I don't think he was stupid, frankly, at all. I just think he's got – It's amazing how some people are in desperate need. And, you know, again, I'm very conscious of the fact that there are people who might say this about any of us. There are people who have a need to believe in something different. There are people who it's important for them to have knowledge that the rest of us don't have or to be special in some way or to really understand the world the way we don't. And I'm kind of curious to see what the reaction will be to this interview, because for some people it will upset them and they'll get annoyed and they'll get irritated and they'll be cross and they'll have to insult this guy. And for some people they'll dismiss it as if it's not a big deal. And then there'll be those people who go, well, you know, he's absolutely right. And I've done my own research since then. I just think it's extremely dangerous to disregard the hard work of many very brilliant people throughout human history who've done all the heavy lifting and gone to a huge amount of trouble to prove to us that we have a greater understanding of what kind of a planet we live on. You know, brilliant, brilliant people. And I don't believe that they're all just fools who've bought into a conspiracy. I think that's extremely arrogant. And I also don't believe that you have any right to just deliberately disregard the work of other people and say mine is just better because I've done the research myself. So what? I mean, you can research, you can research dog turds all your life long. It doesn't give you insight into the way the universe is built. And that bothers me. I think anyone who disregards anyone else, the way he seems to just dismiss all of science in favor of his theories, that's a fairly arrogant position to take.
It's hard for me to be as open-minded as you are, Gareth, considering what else he says.
He's got theories. He's got theories about Kim Jong-un and nuclear bombs. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you've got to hear it. So we spoke to him and we'll play
NASA
it.
NASA isn't real.
Oh, yeah.
The likes of the elite, Elon Musk knows the truth. And how to get to that point? But, okay.
Some people like to believe that there are shortcuts to knowledge, or that they've discovered a shortcut to being more enlightened than the rest of us. And if you want to believe him, I'm not going to judge you either. But I gave him a chance to explain it. You can hear it. You can make your own mind up. That's the only way to do these things.
Very good.
Tracy says flat earthers lose their shit when there's a solar eclipse. Yeah, and I did bring up the eclipse, and he's like, no, well, that's all a performance. We don't know whether the moon is actually 3D. It might just be an image, like projected into the sky. I mean, he's got theories. The great thing about your interview with a flat earther, says Carl, is that we know he's a moron before even listening. Well, I advise you to just try and go in with an open mind.
Yeah. It was good for you, Gareth, that you did that. I'm proud.
I didn't want to interview him to make fun of him. I wanted to interview him to see whether there's anything in there that could be useful to anybody. And maybe there is, maybe there isn't. You're going to decide for yourself, right? It does become, and this is a very good point that Tracy says. She says, a lot of people, when they're convinced by an issue, it becomes their gospel. And there could be some part of what he says that becomes a part of what you believe. You know, he says that the world, we're being sold this idea that we are not connected to God. And it's very complicated. I mean, some of it may appeal to some people. And that's what's so clever. Is a conspiracy theory, if it's complete and utter bullshit, and it makes no sense whatsoever, then it doesn't really stick around for long. But the really great conspiracy theorists find one or two things that you go, I wonder why flight paths don't go over the Antarctic. And then suddenly, you know, your brain starts to work overtime to try and figure out why. And then you start thinking, well, maybe that's true. And then you build on that, and maybe this is true, and maybe that's true. And eventually you've convinced yourself a whole worldview that is just very, very difficult to conceive of if you haven't been sucked into it.
So if it is flat, then what's on the other side?
Well, he didn't even answer that.
Is it a floating flat thing?
He doesn't go into that. He says that all of creation is this this single, I suppose he would say, three-dimensional but nothing underneath existence. And he says that beyond Antarctica being on the outside is a whole lot more land, extra terra. And he says that's where extraterrestrials come from. So you just listen to the thing. I'm not going to try and explain it because, frankly, I don't buy into it.
Yeah. But
you listen to him and you can decide. Take a flat earther to a harbor, says Savage Reader, and let him watch a ship disappear into the distance in pain. and then the Flat Earth Society, I asked him about them, and he says, no, the Flat Earth Society is a ridiculous organization that was put up by the government to make flat earth theories seem ridiculous. So the government made the flat, you see, the government who wants to lie to you made the Flat Earth Society, who are stupid and ridiculous, so that flat earthers are discredited. There's a huge, huge amount of work going on just to keep us ignorant. Anyway,
sure.
It does make my brain hurt to explain.
I just do not know.
Illitheria says it makes Garrett's brain hurt to try and explain the theory. Yeah, I can't explain it because it doesn't make any sense to me. But you can listen to Flat Earth Dave, and if you like him, then you can watch more of his videos. He's got his own podcast, and I thought, why not? Let's see what this guy's all about. Anyway, we've got to talk about a few things when we come back. Sia has found out who the most successful and long-standing CEO in the world is, and you're not going to believe who it is. The most successful and long-standing CEO ever. And you'll find out who that person is in the next hour. Also, while we're speaking of CEOs, Jeff Bezos is doing some new things, which we might need to know about. I'm always thrilled to hear a story where the animals get the humans back. That's coming up too. And Leanne Moll's got a bunch of things for us as well. All of that and more on the way, cliffcentral.com. It is 7 o'clock in the morning on a Friday. Good morning.
Cliffcentral.com.